Okay. All right. The prayer is already gone. It's answered, so I'm going to start with the rest. Let me whet your appetite with some definitions and comments about peace. Freedom from strife of any kind, peace in the family, harmony, freedom from war, to work for world peace, an agreement between enemies to end war, quiet, calm, stillness, peace of mind. We enjoy the peace of the country, tranquility, serenity. Make peace to effect a reconciliation between persons or parties at variance. Peaceable people keep out of quarrels. So then, why in Scripture do we have such contradictory comments about peace? At the birth of Jesus, the angels announced there will be peace on earth, goodwill to all. And then on the other hand, we're warned at the end times, there will be wars and rumors of wars, but do not be afraid. Jesus himself, the one that you read, Dave, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. But then you contradict that and say, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, when he challenges our first love for him. So what do we make of these seemingly contradictory statements? Did Jesus lie? I used to read an English satirical author by the name of Adrian Plass. He was not exactly sacrilegious, but he could make you laugh about anything that was spiritual and for sure religious. And he used to say, what you need to do is read the sticky bits in the scripture. Not just those not those verses and passages that fit in with your nice foregone conclusion, but those that mix up your nice tidy answers. And Richard Rohr today would say the same thing. It's not always either or. Very often it's both and. And then he would point to a third way. So very briefly, peace on earth versus war and rumors of war. I definitely think our current political climate is one of troubled. Well, maybe I should start this way. Donald Trump may be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for brokering a deal to prevent North Korea from nuking the rest of us. But the atmosphere in the States is definitely one that is more of polarity, animosity, strife. A peaceful atmosphere is definitely not what you could describe the climate, not only in the U.S., but it reminds me of an art contest that I heard about many years ago, and this happened in Europe. And the only instructions that were given was that artists were supposed to either paint, draw, or make some type of a picture that when the viewer would look at it, it would immediately evoke a feeling of peace. And there were many, many beautiful submissions, countrysides, mountains, sunsets, but the one that won the prize was a small bird sitting in the cleft of a rock while the storm was raging around it. The waves are splashing, the wind is blowing, and this bird is sitting there peacefully. And the title was Peace in the Midst of Chaos. Can we live like that? A year ago, our daughter Ramona embarked on a very ambitious plan, and that was to start on a master's program in theology, culture, and imagination. All three of those absolutely intrigue her. And the college is located in Salisbury, right across from the Salisbury Cathedral. So when I stood at the college gate, you look across at Salisbury Cathedral. Now, if some of you remember a few months ago, the Russian spy and his daughter that were poisoned with a nerve agent, well, that was in Salisbury, and she happened to be on campus during that week. That was all just an aside, just to put the place. But one of the things that Ramona told me is she said, it's not only through the church, and in fact, sometimes people right now, because the church seems in so much turmoil, that the feelings, the longings of the heart are not necessarily being expressed. But she said, watch in the marketplace, watch films, listen to music, start picking out the underlying themes of what people are trying to say. And she talked about, I'll give an example. The movie Avatar. So you've got all this fighting and chaos and animosity, but what they're doing is building a kingdom within a kingdom. A kingdom where peace and harmony and justice prevail, where the vulnerable are protected, where people know each other. Remember when he said, I see you, that knowing that we've talked about previously. So I embarked on my own distance education master's program, and mine is going to be self-titled Listening and Reflecting. So I have been looking around both in culture, in movies, in the world around me, and I want to pick up on themes. The first example, I have three examples. The first one was 2 weeks ago. John and I were in Toronto with our son, and during that time, I had the chance to have a three-hour lunch with my niece. She has quite recently passed the bar in both the U.S. and in Canada, but they've moved to Toronto now. And 2 years ago, when I was there for her wedding, she said to me, you know, Auntie Rita, I really don't want to be a defense lawyer. I don't want to be a corporate lawyer. I want to use my skills to build up things, whether it's a new business that needs legal advice, whether it's an NGO that needs help, but I want to be building up, not destroying or breaking down. So obviously, being an American with Canadian citizenship, she's very involved with U.S. politics. So I said to her, what do you say when people say, well, the U.S. economy hasn't been this strong for years? And she said, yeah, but for whom? For whom is this good? How does it enhance education, healthcare, welfare? When they measure the success of an economy, do they ever consider the Global Happiness Index? She is involved now in a self-initiated think tank to consider what she and her friends can do to bring justice and real consideration for marginalized and disadvantaged people. And my comment to her at the end of the conversation was, it is young people like you that give me hope for the future of world peace. Then the second example happened last weekend. I braved the heat of the folk festival, and driving home, I thought about, wow, what kind of weird people go to folk fest? And I'm one of them. I never did answer the question, but I had a lot of time to reflect on so many of the things that I heard. So the first thing that really impressed me was, I'm sure there were at least 12 different cultures that were represented at the different venues. African, Mexican, South Siberia, Irish, UK, Australia, American, Canadian, Mali, and each one of them in all the different venues, almost without exception, had the same theme to their music. Can we not all agree to live in peace, regardless of skin color, culture, or language? I will let the words of a Mexican singer-songwriter speak for me. And he was part of a very interesting group. It was a songwriter, singer, dance group that was a mix of Afro-Americans and Spanish Mexicans. So high energy. But he introduced the song and he said, we used to travel back and forth across the borders. We didn't have walls. We were not considered public enemy number one. We were all part of the human race. Are we not still all brothers and sisters of the human race? And he introduced one song. Unfortunately, they sang the song in Spanish, but he introduced the song with a question. What would you do if you were the president? That really sparked my imagination. And I thought, okay, I may not change a country, but I have a world of influence. What kind of a culture will I create? So my question for you, tell me, what would you do if you were president? The second person that really impacted me was an Australian. He was probably in his early 60s, and he was a survivor of the residential school system in Australia. He was only 3 years old when he was scooped up out of his home, taken to the mission to be rescued from the Aboriginal ways and have the white man's ways instilled. So he grew up in this school, never knowing any different. He thought, everyone must grow up like this. Until 15 years old, he's in high school, he gets a letter from a woman who claims to be his sister, and she says, "Dear bro, this is to let you know our mom passed away last week." This totally blew his mind. He didn't even know that he still had brothers and sisters. He didn't know about his mom and dad. But he left school, made his way to Sydney to try and find his sister. He never did find her, but in the process ended up on the streets, homeless, alcoholic, drug addiction, and he said, "I learned how to ask people very politely for money, but unfortunately that usually went for alcohol instead of food." He also met a woman while he was living in the alleyway. Her name was Rosie, and they had two children, and so every day there was a sandwich truck that would come around all the alleyways, and it would stop at certain points. And then people would come and they would hand out sandwiches and soup. And so Rosie is standing in the lineup one day and she said, it's like a light went on. And she thought, this is it. I am done with this. She marched back to Archie lying in the alleyway and she said, okay, sorry, you've got to choose. It's either going to be you and your alcohol or me and the kids. And he said, well, that was a no-brainer. So he began rebuilding his life and his family's life. In the process, he bought a guitar and he started telling his story in songs. And that's what he was doing with us. And he said, we all have a story to tell. Do we listen to each other's stories? How much do we listen? Or do we immediately impose our judgments and our superiority on others? We cannot live in peace as long as we do this. I remembered when John and I were in Alice Springs in Australia, seeing one of those dilapidated old residential schools. By now it was empty, but the fence was still around it. The gate was broken down. I also remember the long, long walking trails that the Aboriginals would walk on them. They were called their ancestral trails. And then they just walked, I think, for peace, for quiet. And anyway, white ranchers came and bought up the land. And so they started putting up fences right across those trails with no trespassing signs. People started getting arrested for walking on trails that they had walked for basically generations. And I wondered again, how much were the Aboriginals consulted or given a voice? And then I also remembered reading and hearing about grandmothers in that stage that said, a whole generation was taken from us. How do we rebuild? So then when Archie Roach talks about, you know, it's the weirdest thing. I'm 60 years old. I still always have three women in my life that sort of seem like grandmothers to me. And I was thinking, yeah, it's no wonder. Because that childhood desire, that longing, you were robbed of. And so now he replaces it in different ways. So much for Folkfest. Friday, I get a phone call. And it's Doris. I know I've introduced her to you before. She's one of the girls that lived with us from the age of 15 to 18 and is now a 56-year-old, but we still keep in touch. And this was one of those catch-up calls. So we're chatting away about what's going on. And I said to her, so Doris, tell me your thoughts on peace. You know, I'm supposed to be talking about peace on Sunday, and I just want to hear what you have to say. And so first of all, she just rattled off 9 fruits of the Spirit. And I thought, wow, I don't think I could do that. And then she said, peace. I always, always go back to the serenity prayer when I need peace. To have the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And there are things in her life that she would have loved to change. The courage to change those things I can. And she said, I'm known as a fairly outspoken person. She's now an elder on Long Plains Reserve. And the wisdom to know the difference. That's how I find peace in the midst of chaos. And there's still frequent chaos. And then she adds, I hope that was helpful. And I said, yes, it surely was. And she said, again added, because I needed that today. So, those of you boys that were looking at these pineapples, you wonder, what do pineapples have to do with all of this? Well, if you look at the pineapple that's not been cut in the back, you know how it has almost like a dinosaur skin on the outside? It seems pretty crusty and a little bit tough to chew. But you all know, because you know how good pineapple tastes, that exactly, that inside part is what? Sweet, tasty, and juicy. But do you know there's also a core on the inside? I usually cut that core out for because it's too hard to chew. But that core, I call our inner selves. That's the part of us that we communicate with God back and forth. He speaks to us, we speak to him. That is also the core of how we look at each other. Do you, when you listen to the next person, do you listen to what they're saying? Do you listen to their hearts? So, I'm not finished with my master's in listening and reflecting. But, insofar as it is possible for me, and I know it's not always up to me, but insofar as it is possible for me, I want to live at peace with all. And the only way to achieve peace is to continue listening, to hear the cries of people's hearts, whether spoken or unspoken, and to respond as I am able. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.